CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Mourners gathering at the hospital where conservative activist Charlie Kirk was taken after being shot on the campus of Utah Valley University.
I'm here because Charlie Kirk was a good Christian. He loved Jesus. He wanted dialogue, not civil war.
Utah Governor Spencer Cox calling Kirk's murder a political assassination. The search for the gunman, believed to have taken the shot from an elevated position at least 100 yards away, goes on.
Gunmen in elevated positions is something that keeps law enforcement awake at night, and they know about this problem. The Las Vegas massacre, the Kennedy assassination, the shooting at the Independence Day parade outside of Chicago a couple of years ago. This is not a shocking type of new thing that law enforcement is just dealing with.
ABC News Chief Investigative Reporter Josh Margolin. This is ABC News.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives star and founder of the soft swinging group on TikTok called Mom Talk will be the new bachelorette. Taylor Frankie Paul will have her pick of men on national television. But be careful, attention-seeking hot guys, because she is no stranger to scandal. Paul, the mother of two, confessed that she and other couples in the community were soft swingers, meaning she and her husband regularly made out with other couples. Once you get a look at Taylor Frankie Paul, you'll realize why all the other husbands wanted a French kisser. In addition to two hot first names, she has perfect eyebrows. According to the New York Post, the soft swinging resulted in a pregnancy for Paul by another husband. That must have been some kiss. Beware, though, bachelor, she was also charged with a third-degree felony for throwing something at her first husband that accidentally hit her child. Don't worry, the charges were dismissed, paving the way for Paul to choose another potential baby daddy on national TV. I think I'm in love. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. It's the Packers and the Washington Commanders tonight here at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jaden Daniels named the NFL Rookie of the Year last season. The Packers' Micah Parsons asked what it was like playing against Daniels.
Oh, man, it's hard. He's just one of them guys that, like, contain the whole time. You can power him. He can go through the A and B gaps, get outside of you. It's hard, you know what I mean? And just let him know, you know, it's just got to go out there and play hard.
Baseball, the Brewers losing 6-3 to the Rangers. It's the first time since opening weekend the Brewers lost a three-game sweep this season, and only the third time since Pat Murphy took over as the club's manager.
It stinks. We haven't had too many of these. I know in the last 2 years, this is the third time we've been swept, right? Yankees, Phillies, and Yankees on the road, Phillies on the road, Rangers on the road.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
From the assassination of Charlie Kirk to shootings in Colorado, how do we as Wisconsinites take care of our own mental health as we sort through the news? All that and remembering 9/11 next time. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of dense fog through mid-morning. Then expect partly sunny skies to develop, a beautiful September day with a high of 71. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows near 50 degrees. On Friday, a mix of sun and clouds, another great day with a high of 75. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Mr. Pat Kreitlow joins us from Lake Wissota.
Everything that I know about high culture, everything I know about opera, for example, comes from Bugs Bunny cartoon. The kids are missing out these days. They got Bluey and all of that.
Well, now it's all like real.
We had coyotes falling off of cliffs. Come on.
Exactly. And now it's all this educational crap.
We really have just become the two old men rocking on the porch talking about days gone by.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Brian Kennedy, mayor of Glendale and national president of Democratic Municipal Officials, on getting yourself trained to run for local office.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
A little fog could start your Thursday morning. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yockey here on the Midwest Farm Report. Do you enjoy prime rib? I'll tell you what, it is a Wisconsin tradition, and it's one that the Wisconsin Beef Council, in partnership with Gather Wisconsin, want more people to experience, not just close to them, but in different spots around the state. That's one of the stories we've got on the way. So glad you're along with us. Weather-wise, you've got a little fog along with you this morning, depending on where you are. Fog probably hanging around between 7 and 8 this morning. Otherwise, it's going to be a beautiful Thursday. Sunshine today, highs right around 77. Tomorrow, again, starting off with a little fog, but otherwise a sunny Friday on the way. Little warmer. Tomorrow's highs, 83. Saturday, we do have a slight chance of showers or thunderstorms in the morning. Then it should burn off, partly sunny the rest of our Saturday, and 86. Stu Mockraig, meteorologist, has weather details on the way. We're also talking about what farmers need to be aware of about their bodies going into the harvest. I mean, up and down, in and out of tractor cabs, truck boxes, all of the physical labor necessary in agriculture can take a toll on your body. Are you paying attention to your body? We're going to ask you a few questions and find out.
We want milk fed. We want milk fed.
There's a full house in the stands tonight, and it sounds like they're demanding higher milk fat and lower feed costs. These fans know that growing Pioneer brand Plenish High Oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help producers increase milk fat production without increasing feed costs.
For dairy farmers, it's Plenish soybeans for the winning return on investment.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, you should feel very welcome. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yockey speaking from experience. The retail location on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg has that feel. You'll notice it on their website, BavariaSausage.com, and you'll see it on their posts on Facebook. Bavaria Sausage not only features their old world flavors, their recipes, their combinations, and all the food that they make, but they also highlight real Wisconsin products in their recipes, in their store, flavors from syrups to mustards to treats, all with Wisconsin stories that they love to share. When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, it's not just about their story, it's about Wisconsin food stories. Check it out. Shop online anytime, BavariaSausage.com. Follow them on Facebook for their latest menu updates, or visit corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corntraits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Crops are still growing out here, and a lot of acres, the soybeans, the corn is looking really good. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, but chatting to you from the O'Galley area. And I have Tony Melanthan. He is owner, operator, jack of all trades for Melanthan Farms. Let's talk about the operation.
I'm a part of this with my father. Melanthan Farms, we span 5 counties in western Wisconsin here, growing corn and soybeans and loving every minute of it.
Now let's talk a little scope about those soybeans and the corn. And what's the rotation?
Yeah, so predominantly it's corn-soybean rotation, one after the other. Due to some rotational acres that we have with some livestock operations, we tend to skew a little heavy on soybeans each year just because of how that rotation comes back to us.
What are some of the focuses here at Melanthin Farms?
You know, our focus is strategically investing in our crops and our land. And sometimes that means our fertility decisions. Sometimes that means our equipment decisions. One thing that I was able to highlight today on a trade visit that we'll get to later is our new purchase of a See & Spray sprayer from John Deere. 2025 was our first year able to use that in the field. So it's a technology, you know, the first year getting to know it, getting to use it. We were excited at the start of the year, but also a little hesitant and nervous to know how it will work. But on the acres we were able to use that on, we're very happy with.
Now let's dive a little bit further into that See & Spray. Can it identify weeds, or how does it work out in that field?
My understanding is you select the crop that you are spraying. So we used it primarily in our soybeans this year. So in our monitor, we selected that we were spraying soybeans. And then it sprayed every time it saw a plant that was not a soybean. Now in the future, I believe their goal is to have more of a weed by weed identification process, but I'm sure that's many years down the road.
And how many acres did you use it on?
So on this year, the acreage that we used it on was not quite all of our soybean acreage, just due to some technical difficulties that we had. But next year, I think the acreage will increase.
And talking about that technology, beyond that See & Spray sprayer, what about drones? Have you implemented that into your operation?
We have. We don't currently own a drone. The drone usage that we have right now is for applying fungicide, primarily in corn. So we have been using that for a few years now. We have a local operator who services us well, and it's something that we've been happy with and excited to expand the usage of.
You did host a Korean trade group that came in and asked you a lot of questions about, everything from soup to nuts. In a nutshell, what do you focus on here? I mean, is it sustainability? Is it profits? Is it yields? What are you looking at?
What I would say to that is sustainability is all of that. You know, everyone wants to talk about sustainability, and that is important to a lot of our international customers. And it's important to us here at the farm as well. But everyone has to understand that sustainability has multiple legs to it. It's the environmental sustainability that everyone talks about, whether that's through See & Spray technologies, reducing our chemical usage, variable rate fertilizer applications, no-till cover crops. You can go on and on. But it also has a financial leg to it. And if what you're doing isn't providing financial sustainability for your operation to continue into the future and continue to the next generation, if they so choose fit to farm, I guess, what's the purpose of your farm?
And talking more about that technology and backing you up to your See & Spray sprayer, you used it on quite a few acres this year. Did you see a difference in the amount of product that you put out there on those acres? And what about a cost savings?
We did see a savings. It varied depending on field. The savings honestly was anywhere between 10% and 80% to 85% savings. Now, as far as what that means to your pocketbook, that's all going to depend on the mix you have in there. So John Deere does charge a $5 per acre technology fee every time it does not spray. So every time you save chemical, they get $5. Not saying I'm the happiest camper about that, but it is something that we still chose to move forward on. And again, as far as the savings per acre, I don't have that on the top of my head because I'd have to go back on what exactly it cost for that mix. But that's what we saw.
You did mention when you were chatting with the group that you used less product. How much less product?
Yeah, on average, on the acres that we used it on, the average was around 40% less, with that range of 10 to 80 to 85% less. It was really amazing. There was one field that sticks out to me that we pretty much, it sprayed 75% of the time on the headlands. And then after we got off the headlands, it hardly sprayed. I mean, I could not believe it.
Talking about your crop this year, it looks really good. Those soybeans almost look blue to me. They're so green. How do you market your soybeans? Are they staying here in the U.S. or where are they going?
Yeah, so just because of the proximity we are to the Mississippi River terminals, the majority of our soybeans make it to a Mississippi River terminal. And from there, they go down the river unofficially. You know, the bulk of them get exported officially. I don't know exactly what happens to them after they hit the barge.
And you have a lot of corn acres as well. Where does that all go?
Yeah, so a portion of our corn acres, I would say, go directly into a livestock market. And then still probably half or over half of our corn acres or bushels go to the export market. The remaining bushels sometimes will go to the ethanol market. And again, that's all this is market driven. Where is the best return going to be as far as where we take our bushels?
And what's the benefit of hosting these trade tours?
I think the benefit really is to get our international customers, because it is a buying team, but really they're our customers, to get our customers here seeing what farming is like in the United States, how we farm, how we raise the soybeans that they will eventually be purchasing, and then gives them that firsthand feel. So when they go to make a purchase of soybeans, they feel comfortable when they're purchasing U.S. soybeans. Now, it's an international market, and we got one heck of a competitor down in the south, in Brazil primarily, but also Argentina. Part of what we are able to do with these visits is to really differentiate the quality that we have versus our South American competitors. One thing I've heard over the last week especially when I was at SoyConnect, was various international buyers talking about the quality drop-off they've seen from South America as they've expanded.
As a farmer, you work with the land, you take care of the land, and the land takes care of you. And that was Mr. Tony Melanthan. He is owner, operator, and I say jack of all trades here at the farm, as well as being on the United Soybean Board, growing those crops here in West Central Wisconsin. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, but chatting to you from the O'Galley area.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
I've got a little personal business to attend to, but don't worry. We've got a special re-airing of Girls Rock and then a best of curated just for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
Ew.
Yeah, that sounds like breakfast now.
Yeah,
come on.
For us early risers, it certainly does. Other folks at least thinking about the weekend. And it's not too early. What's it going to look like up at Lambeau Field tonight for the Commanders?
It's going to be all right. Mild temperatures, but fog. And you mentioned it, some fog building in everywhere. A dense fog advisory in western and northwest Wisconsin, in the southeast as well this morning. And in those areas not covered by the dense fog advisory, there's still fog. So have those low beam headlights on and take it easy. Watch out because it could pop up here and there as you're making your drive this morning. Otherwise, we do expect a pretty fair day to be in store. After morning fog, temperatures are going to be on the above normal side, back into the mid and upper 70s. For a lot of folks today, that's above normal. And we warm it up even more on toward Friday and Saturday as well. But a warm front tries to edge in out of the west, and we can expect that Friday night or early Saturday, the possibility of a hit or miss shower or thunderstorm pops up. Not going to be a widespread major storm, but there could be a little isolated shower or thunderstorm. That would be Friday night or into early Saturday. Otherwise, then I expect even more mild air. Temperatures very mild, well up into the 80s Saturday and Sunday. Sounds like summertime weather returning, as that mild air will be in store right through the weekend. Another small rain chance a little later Monday or Monday night. I don't expect that to be too heavy or widespread either, but our temperatures stay mild. I've seen an extended forecast indicating normal and above normal temps all the way through most of next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
For over 125 years, Purina has been driven to unlock the greatest potential of every animal. Middleton Farmers Cooperative announces the launch of Purina Animal Feeds and Supplements with an in-store celebration of Purina sales, giveaways, and important information for you to help your animals live a healthy life. Register to win Purina Outlast. Talk to Purina reps. Buy any two bags of Purina and get the third half off. Grab Purina swag and free samples at Middleton Farmers Co-op.
We want the cream of the crop. We want the cream of the crop. We want the cream of the crop.
There's a buzz on the field tonight. The dairy farming crowd is demanding Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
These fans know that growing Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help farmers reduce ration costs while increasing milk fat content.
The cream of the crop rises to the top.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
All right, let's have that forecast, Stu.
All right, that dense fog advisory in the west and northwest and southeast as well this morning, and patchy fog almost anywhere. Otherwise, today more sunshine will break out, and it sounds all right. Temps maybe in the low 70s in the northwest, upper 70s in the south, east winds about 5. Partly cloudy overnight, some fog around again late in the nighttime. We drop down in the low to mid 50s with east winds at 5. Morning fog, a mostly sunny Friday. Awesome. I expect upper 70s and low 80s already Friday. Friday night, early Saturday, the chance for a very scattered shower or thunderstorm. Otherwise, more sunshine later on Saturday. Temps ought to be in the low and mid 80s with the south winds at 5. I'd say mid and upper 80s Sunday, Pam, with sunshine. It sounds like summer's going to be here all weekend.
Hey, you know what? That's just fine. I mean, I know there are some folks out there that are lamenting their lawns. They maybe would like to see a little bit more rainfall than just a sprinkle. But I'll tell you, if you've got to spread manure, if you're trying to till and then get some fall seeded crops in the ground, harvesting silage, this is kind of ideal, kind of that pinch yourself moment, right?
Yep, it's working out. There's even some hay cut trying to dry across the road, and they're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, we got a lot of hay down, that's for sure. All right, buddy, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks, Stu.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with the weather details you're looking for. If you've got details we'd like to hear about, please go ahead and share. Talk text line is open. I've already heard from Rocky and Taychita. Stand up by Green Bay. Dan also listening this morning, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Chime in anytime this morning. We'd love to hear from you.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on Pacific Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where he's joined by Hans Breitenmauser.
There were at least a couple of rural sheriffs that were passing emails back and forth about not necessarily cooperating any further with ICE, seeing how things were being handled. And really, Hans, I mean, it's about going after brown people first and foremost. Yes. But in Trump's case, he's like, well, as long as we're going after brown people in the blue areas, the white people in the red areas who need the brown people to make money are going to be okay. That sums up Donald Trump in a nutshell.
Well, I think you're right. Unfortunately, I think that's kind of where we're at. And obviously, all these things are more complicated than we'd like them to be. But that's reality. That's what it means to be a grown-up. Things are complicated sometimes. And what I can say is that the dairy industry falls completely apart in the state of Wisconsin without foreign-born employees. We need a mechanism by which we can have people from other countries coming in and doing jobs in this country. Otherwise, the economy just doesn't work. Any economist worth their salt will tell you that. This isn't, economics needing a PhD. This is simple math. And so anybody that can't see past the idea that we're simply demonizing a group of people and scapegoating them, they're simply kidding themselves. And I'm willing to forgive people for that, but I have a hard time forgiving policymakers for that, because by God, they should know better.
Yeah, my response to that is, when it comes to racial politics and Donald Trump and the MAGA wing, sometimes things really are as simple as they might seem. But that's my whole two cents on it. I got just over a minute left and wanted to ask you in general about June Dairy Month. There have been activities that are going on. And I always worry that as the years go by and as more of these factory farms come in and people start taking things for granted, do you still feel like all these June Dairy Month activities, they make a dent, they help folks around Wisconsin appreciate what's going on? Or are you more concerned that maybe it's not, you know, what it used to be?
Well, I don't think it's what it's used to be. You know, it's hard not to be nostalgic for the days when there were 13 dairy farms on my road, and now there's only three of us left. The dairy industry has changed a great deal, but I do feel like the June dairy events are well received and well attended, and they go to some very nice farms, some large and some small, and it does help the public appreciate, you know, what the dairy industry contributes to the state economy, and helps educate non-farmers on what happens on real farms. And getting back to the earlier conversation, I hope that as we go forward, part of that conversation is the fact that there's brown people that work on those farms as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Mourners gathering at the hospital where conservative activist Charlie Kirk was taken after being shot on the campus of Utah Valley University.
I'm here because Charlie Kirk was a good Christian. He loved Jesus. He wanted dialogue, not civil war.
Utah Governor Spencer Cox calling Kirk's murder a political assassination. The search for the gunman, believed to have taken the shot from an elevated position at least 100 yards away, goes on.
Gunmen in elevated positions is something that keeps law enforcement awake at night, and they know about this problem. The Las Vegas massacre, the Kennedy assassination, the shooting at the Independence Day parade outside of Chicago a couple of years ago. This is not a shocking type of new thing that law enforcement is just dealing with.
ABC News Chief Investigative Reporter Josh Margolin. This is ABC News.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. It's the Packers and the Washington Commanders tonight here at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jaden Daniels named the NFL Rookie of the Year last season. The Packers' Micah Parsons asked what it was like playing against Daniels.
Oh, man, it's hard. He's just one of them guys that, like, contain the whole time. You can power him. He can go through the A and B gaps, get outside of you. It's hard, you know what I mean? And just let him know, you know, it's just got to go out there and play hard.
Baseball, the Brewers losing 6-3 to the Rangers. It's the first time since opening weekend the Brewers lost a three-game sweep this season, and only the third time since Pat Murphy took over as the club's manager.
It stinks. We haven't had too many of these. I know in the last 2 years this is the third time we've been swept, right? Yankees, Phillies, and Yankees on the road, Phillies on the road, Rangers on the road.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're recombobulating the news on Thursday. That's right. Dan Schaefer is here, and we're going to be talking about everything coming out of Wisconsin politics, including a huge announcement in the governor's race. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Did the dog catch the car? We have election denier legal trouble involving voting dogs.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some areas of dense fog through mid-morning, then expect partly sunny skies to develop, a beautiful September day with a high of 71. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows near 50 degrees. On Friday, a mix of sun and clouds, another great day with a high of 75. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Hunters, beware what you eat. Wisconsin health officials have issued a new consumption advisory for ducks harvested on Green Bay. Testing shows mallard and wood ducks on the bay are contaminated with toxic PFAS forever chemicals. UW-Madison researchers have linked contamination in the bay to Tyco fire products near Marinette. A key research center on the Mississippi River is falling prey to big federal cuts targeting science. The French Island facility, known as an ecosystem research area, produces information on water quality, invasive species, wildlife diseases, and more. Heavy cuts to the program take effect on October 1st and could effectively eliminate more than a century of scientific research. Knowledge is power. Right now on the Defender podcast, $150 million is available to help Wisconsinites upgrade their homes and cut energy use. Learn how to get started at CleanWisconsin.com. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's a minute. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matinair on Air. Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Ruden joins the show to talk about the LFPA program.
The LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program, and you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops.
Yeah, this program seems like a win-win to me. It's good for the farmers who are incentivized to produce this food. It's good for the food pantries. It's not like the government is coming to Wisconsin farmers and saying, you have to grow X acres of food and then I want you to give it away to hungry people. That's not what we're talking about.
Right. You know, there's a payment-based system there on what the farmer is going to produce for this market that's been established. It's there. It's also something that's getting, you know, that those fresh fruits and vegetables more directly into the consumer hand and making it more available for more people. You know, when we look at what's going on in the general grocery store aisles, you know, most of those products are not fresh anymore.
Right.
They're getting to be a week or 2 weeks old because of the distribution network. They go from the farm to a processor to a distribution center, and you got a whole week that's passed already before it ever gets to that local grocery store shelf. So, you know, this is getting something in people's mouths within 72 to 96 hours from when it was picked off the land. And you know, why aren't we doing more of this across the whole country, you know, versus depending on a food system that's really broken at this point?
Well, and again, now we're talking about making more restrictions for people who do receive food stamps and those kinds of benefits. We want to restrict what they can buy in the stores because we want them to buy healthier things. Mm-hmm. And then yet at the same time, we're going to take away these healthier options and hurt our farmers at the same time. There's so much stuff working at cross purposes in this bill.
Yeah, it is, you know, and certainly we would like to see the farm bill, you know, pass as it is. There's a ton of improvements that can be made, but in this current political situation, that simply isn't going to happen. But let's pass the farm bill as a farm bill and not have it in this big, beautiful bill that's going to, you know, be a detriment to the whole country, not only on the budget deficit that we're going to see, but also, you know, the programs that are being cut and not being helpful to, number one, the American farmers, but number two, the consuming public.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Check out wenzelsfarm.com. Made by pros for pros.
You know, as the harvest pace starts to pick up around Wisconsin, those day-to-day tasks really take a toll on your body. Getting in and out of equipment, making sure that you're reaching across spans when it comes to measuring or monitoring grain, just all those things day after day, long hours, it takes a toll. In just a little bit, we're going to find out what you need to pay attention to when it comes to your body giving you signals that it's not happy and what you may be able to do to try to mitigate some of that pain. Stand by. One of the stories we're sharing with you on a Thursday morning here on the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke on this, the 11th day of September. Of course, most of us remember September 11th from 2001, the attacks on the United States, whether it was New York, Pennsylvania, or the nation's capital. September 11th will be commemorated today in many different ways around the United States. On this day in 1912, St. Mary's Hospital in Madison was also dedicated. A lot of people have come in and out of that facility over the course of time. It was a 70-bed red brick facility when it initially was opened. Cost $170,000. That was back in 1912 in Madison. On this day, 1910, the first commercially successful electric bus. It opened in Los Angeles, 1910. So don't think this electric stuff is brand new to the world, that's for sure. And happy birthday to actor Harry Connick Jr., also a great crooner. He is 58 years young, and now you know.
The work on a farm never stops. Farmers are busy 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Well, that is at least until your body's check engine light comes on. I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report, and I caught up with Dr. Jay Makovic. He's a partial owner at Belleville Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Dr. Jay grew up on his family's farm and now keeps farmers up on their feet. He tells us about some of the most common injuries he sees out of farmers.
I would say that our rural patients are literally, no pun intended, the backbone, not just of our practice, but of the community around here. A lot of stuff doesn't happen without them. So understanding that, first and foremost, we can then better understand what we're going to see on a day-to-day basis. So as we know with farmers, it is, even with advancements in technology, and I'll try not to get the carriage in front of the horse, we see a whole host of things. We know that farmers are going to do a lot of heavy manual work, and now with what we're seeing is we're getting to harvest time, as well as then we get to the planting season, the advancement in technology, and that rush and that pressure that's always there to get that task done. We're seeing a lot of static positions that our farmers and our rural patients are going to be in. So long hours in machinery, yes, getting in and out, yes, that heavy lifting, you know, bags of grain, physical actual repairs of the equipment to our farmers and our rural patients that are still milking cows. We understand that. I think we're seeing more injuries, low back strain, low back irritation, nerve irritation, disc injuries, and also a lot of soft tissue injuries from that static position when they're in these pieces of equipment and machinery. And we're seeing that they're doing this for such long periods of time that their ability to recover and for that spine to be really be resilient, it diminishes. So we have to really be able to communicate that first and foremost to the patient that I understand, again, being a farmer, that's going to happen. We have to better educate and empower the patient that it's not the end of the world. Some of these things we can't avoid.
So you mentioned that farmers, they're always moving and they're doing a lot of things. At what point do they need to come and see you if something maybe doesn't feel quite right?
That's a very interesting question and a very nuanced question. We always say the pain is the last sign. However, we have full respect and appreciation for our rural communities, our rural patients in that demographic, that it's not always that easy to have that foresight and that preventative measure.
Well, we are well known for lifting things that are maybe a little heavier than we should and maybe not doing it properly. So I think that education piece is pretty important for our audience. And so because you know how to communicate with that rural population, what's your one-liner? Why should people try to get ahead of that pain before it becomes a hindrance?
Movement is medicine. Motion is lotion. You really don't know. It kind of hits home for me. Of seeing a close family member, my father, when he had lost his autonomy to really get around and move pain-free, you can really take that for granted when that freedom and that liberty is taken away from you. So that's always in a touching point with all of the patients. We're getting asked that why as a chiropractor. That is definitely a why for me, to make sure that we can restore that hope and that movement, even if it's just to go for a walk around the block. When you lose that, that can be a very puncturing moment in someone's life. So even to get people to be, or patients to be able to appreciate that and understand that, I think that is why people come here. Our tagline is, feel better, live better, and do more.
Movement is medicine, motion is lotion. Wise words from Dr. Jay Makovic, partial owner at Belleville Chiropractic and Wellness Center. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corntraits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the seed pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel seed pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
We want the feel of the crop. We want the feel of the crop. We want the feel of the crop.
There's a buzz on the field tonight. The dairy farming crowd is demanding Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
These fans know that growing Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help farmers reduce ration costs while increasing milk fat content.
The cream of the crop rises to the top.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report on a Thursday morning. You know, it's one of the traditions in Wisconsin. We talk about our Friday night fish fries, right? But isn't it almost always followed by prime rib on Saturdays? The Wisconsin Beef Council, in conjunction with Gather Wisconsin, has a new resource available if you're looking to explore prime rib. All across the state, popular supper clubs, as well as those off the beaten path nooks and crannies that people love for that prime rib. It's basically a map that lays out all of these locations. Now, right now, there's 16 locations that they are guiding you to, but they say they're open for suggestions. In fact, they've got a social media campaign looking for your suggestions. You can find out and get involved at beeftips.com. Beeftips.com. Yummy. All right, markets this morning, not so yummy in Chicago. Currently, our October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down a penny, $16.55 a hundredweight. Tough day in dairy yesterday. Barrel cheese dropped a half a cent to $1.67.5. 40-pound block cheese was up 0.75 cents, $1.67.25, but AA butter dropped 4 cents on the day to $1.96.5. So far, pretty quiet on the grain trade. December corn is up a penny, $4.18. March corn up a penny, $4.36. November soybeans up a nickel right now at $10.30. December wheat's up a penny at $5.16. July new crop wheat currently up a half, $5.54 a bushel. What's happening in the dairy complex? We're talking about it next. Ryan Yonkman, Vice President of EverEgg, on the line. Stand by.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday. On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love Angela Lang, and I think Dan Schaefer is great. Dan Schaefer could replace me in a heartbeat. Angela Lang could replace me in a heartbeat. There are so many more talented people. I'm the only one willing to get up before 4 a.m. to do this show. You get the guy old enough to have to wake up and pee, and that's the whole business model behind this show. You're welcome, Mr. and Ms. Middle America.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we make the popcorn pick of the week where we give you a movie suggestion. Then Al Petrelli, guitarist for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, joins to talk about upcoming shows. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Take a look at social media, Ryan. We're seeing more and more concerns about international demand, what's happening with regard to trade and tariffs. That impacts dairy. What are you watching this morning? It's not been particularly nice story for us to deliver here on the Midwest Farm Report when it comes to our dairy trends.
Yeah, no, it has not. Really, over the course of the last few weeks, we've done nothing but slide into new contract lows on just about everything. Everything but dry whey, to be honest, has fallen apart. We've seen butter go from high twos to sub $2, which is the first time we've seen in about 4 years. We've got a class three market that's into new contract lows, now trading, you know, in the high 16s. And the catalyst on a lot of this, really two major factors. One, U.S. milk production has gotten big. But really, too, Europe has been our North Star. Their prices have been premium all year. They've kind of really helped raise the bar for our exports and put a floor under us. And here in the last few weeks, their prices have really come off hard. Their milk production is now also up year over year. And we've seen things like their cheese price drift from low twos into the mid 180s. And when we think about cheese domestically versus international export opportunities. We tend to think we usually need to be a 20 to 30 cent spread with the world to get those exports off, which is something we have to do. And so if we can start to infer Europe is trading around 185, that really starts to send the price signal of pressure that U.S. might need to be in that 155 to 160 area to keep cheese moving out of the country into next year.
That gets concerning to some of our dairy producers as they try to do risk management planning. Ryan, what are you projecting, or what, as you look into 2026, you know, I'm thinking DRP, some of those kinds of things. What are you advising clients with that kind of trend already in place, you know, what, beginning of fourth quarter?
Yeah, I mean, this is where it gets tough. You rewind a few months ago, and yeah, things on class three were a dollar better. But even then, not a lot of people were excited as we were talking about prices, you know, in the mid-18s. But the reality is, this is where we sit. And with the cards that we've got on the table, we do think it's prudent here and now that dairies get going on managing risk into next year. We do have a carry in the curve, which just basically means futures are trading a bit of a premium to what current cash is today. Using cheese and whey, class three is worth about $16.50. If we look out through Jan to June, for example, it's trading around 17 and a quarter on class three. If we plug in the idea of 135, 140, or even 50 cheese, that market's got $1 to $2 of downside pretty easy. So we still are suggesting here, dairies, be smart. Get some floors on this thing and really look at it holistically. Cattle is starting to act different, still near its all-time highs, but it's turned over. And I really think the only way most of us can make money next year is you've got to attack all angles. If you hedge dairy and leave cattle open and that thing changes quickly, I think that's where most our margin is. So we really are being careful about making sure all sides of the equation here are protected if you're going to play that game.
Ryan Yonkman joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report, Vice President of EverAg. You can find their resources, and they have many, ever.ag. Is there any hope out there of seasonal demand kicking back in, Ryan? I mean, this is the time of the year where we kind of get our hopes up about holiday demand, football season, carrying us through fourth quarter with a little bit of a trail into the beginning of 2026.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be the first to own. I got egg on my face right now. This is very typically a time of year where I like to leave a section of milk open to see what can happen. This is our prime time for all the reasons you just stated. And in the moment of now, to our dismay, it hasn't mattered. We've done nothing but break, which is fairly telling about the supply situation and probably more importantly, the lack of interested buyers during this demand season. Now, that said, it's early September. That window is still probably another 30 days out of all these holiday orders needing to come to fruition. So I'm not counting out the idea of a short covering rally here, a demand-driven one from where we're at. I think if we get it, it's short term. If you do get it, that's your opportunity to get more coverage on into next year. I do think we're walking into a bear market. I'll say it. I don't like how this thing feels. The supply situation has shifted in a way that demand hasn't matched its pace and leaves us in a bit of a nerving situation.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about this trade tariff situation. We've got about 2.5 minutes left, Ryan. Is there anything percolating out there that could change? Are we at a distinct disadvantage when it comes to the world global marketplace because of any of our policies? And like I said, that changes with the wind. But still, what's your thoughts there?
I have no new major thoughts on the trade in regards to dairy. There really hasn't been anything big as of recent with the deals that we have in place. For the most part, I think the things that we need to get out of this country are able to do so at kind of understood negotiations. So I honestly don't see any major headwinds there right now for dairy. I think we're kind of coasting business as usual in most areas. So something to keep an eye on, but right now not the top of our radar in regards to what's going on. All eyes really are on Europe in their price action.
Ryan Yonkman again joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report, ever.ag, their website. Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. We had been so optimistic between the lack of cow numbers. We had a high path hit in California, some of those things domestically controlling our production. What's going on with Europe? Are they still in the mode of trying to curtail what happens with dairy there?
Yeah, they're by no means in major growth mode. Their constraints and everything in place through the lens of sustainability are still very real. So we don't look at Europe as a large growth area, but as we know, cows have an ability to do things with good weather and good feed or lack thereof, where last year was a tough year. And we're seeing milk production up 1-2% in some key countries there. So we don't look at that and forecast that to continue to compound in any big way, but they are up. And they're doing it at a time where U.S. is up, you know, pushing 4% on a butterfat adjusted basis where components are high. And so you just have more everywhere. And when that happens, you've got to have the demand to support it. And that's been the weak link in the chain.
Got to let you go, Ryan. Ryan Yonkman joining us live here on the Midwest Farm.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Step into a world where magic and merriment come alive. Discover fantastical creatures, behold thrilling jousts, and meet your favorite characters of old. From rib-tickling jesters to spellbinding performances, the adventure never ends. Make memories that will last through the ages at the most magical village on earth, the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Plan your visit today at renaissancefest.com. Huzzah!
It's not for sure yet, but Minnesota could get some federal money to research hemp. That's next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. The U.S. Senate passed a bill this summer to provide discretionary funding for Veterans Affairs, Agriculture, and the Food and Drug Administration. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, who is also the ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, says there's $1 million in there somewhere to study hemp.
It'll support new research to help farmers across the state. It'll help Minnesota Ag compete nationally and internationally. We already are, but I always want to look around the corner and make sure that we have the next best thing. And it will increase access to a sustainable crop that can boost farm income. But it needs a reliable market, and so that's a lot about this investment in research.
One of the premier hemp processing companies in the country is in Minnesota, and Charles Levine runs it.
Hemp is a complete protein, free of the top 9 allergens. It has 20 amino acids, 9 essential amino acids, full of fatty acids, and high in fiber. So it's one of the most nutrient-dense grains that we can grow.
Levine says hemp fiber has many uses, including building materials, bioplastics, and more. While okayed by the Senate, the funding package still needs full congressional approval to be in effect. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Todd Alba.
From the assassination of Charlie Kirk to shootings in Colorado, how do we as Wisconsinites take care of our own mental health as we sort through the news? All that and remembering 9/11 next time. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2-4.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 Highway 63 Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. There's an urgent search underway for whoever shot and killed conservative activist Charlie Kirk as he rallied young voters on the campus of Utah Valley University. ABC Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
Authorities are canvassing for surveillance footage, talking to witnesses about what they saw, asking for any video they may have recorded.
Those who were nearby saw Kirk fall to the ground after that single shot rang out.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to describe it again, but it was pretty traumatizing, pretty terrible. What happened? Just an overall sad situation.
Kirk shot once in the neck, his killing described as an assassination by Utah's governor. House Speaker Mike Johnson on the increase in threats nationwide.
We need every political figure.